The Christian faith, and Catholicism in particular, has so many elements that sometimes we can scratch our heads and say, well, what's most important? Where do we land in identifying what's really at the core? What's at the center of our faith? Because there are so many rules and laws. There's so many beliefs. There's so many rituals and sacraments. There's so many things to focus on and pray and give our devotion to that sometimes we can just wonder, well, let's strip away all of those things on the periphery and identify what's really at the core. What is central? And I have a friend from Tennessee. I don't have many friends from Tennessee, being from Kentucky, but I do have one. And he has this great line, and it's this: the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Very, very helpful. So what's the main thing? What would we land on in saying, what is the main thing of our faith? What's at the center? What's at the core? And Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, when he was elected Holy Father 15 years ago, gave us, I think, a clue. He gave us this line in his first encyclical. You may remember that before Pope Benedict was elected, his name was Joseph Ratzinger, and he led this office in the Vatican called the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. He was known as the Vatican watchdog. He was known to be the one upholding the rules and the dogmas and the doctrines of the church and refuting heresy. And so when he became Holy Father, people thought maybe he'll carry that into the papacy. It'll all be about the rules, about the doctrines, about the dogmas. But then he came out with this first encyclical called God is Love, Deus Caritas Est. And this really became the thrust of his papacy, God's love. And he has this quote in that first encyclical which really helps us identify what is at the core of our faith. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI wrote this: being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with an event, a person, which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. He helped identify for us what is at the essence of Christianity, what is essential. It's this encounter. It's a person. It's Jesus. Jesus has to be at the center of our faith. Otherwise, all those other things don't matter. They don't fit in unless Jesus and an encounter with him is at the center. He said somewhere else that Christianity essentially is not an intellectual system. It's not a collection of dogmas. It's not a moralism. Just do good, do this, do that, don't do that. He said at the essence of Christianity is an encounter, a love story, an event. And it's so helpful for us to remind ourselves of that. Especially at the beginning of a new year, at the beginning of this new season of ordinary time, to come back to the basics. What is at the core? What is at the center of our faith? It's Jesus. And it's an encounter with Jesus, one that is continually new and gives direction to the rest of our lives. And our readings today really focus on this encounter. First in that first book of Samuel. We heard about Samuel sleeping in the temple. He had been dropped off there by his mom, and now he was living at the temple with the priest Eli. And Samuel, we hear that he's at that point of his life, he didn't know the voice of God. He didn't have an encounter yet with him. And so when he heard his name, Samuel, Samuel, he didn't know what that was. And so he went to Eli. He says, "Here I am, you called me." And he has this back and forth with Eli three different times. And then finally, Eli recognizes maybe it's the Lord calling him. And so he gives him this instruction, and then Samuel speaks what Eli told him. He says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And after that, he grew up. He had an encounter with the Lord, and that encounter directed the rest of his life. After he had this aha moment with the Lord, he was able to then follow the Lord's precepts and listen to his word and direct his life according to the laws and all of the beliefs and the rituals. But before he had that encounter, none of that stuff really fit into place. That was primary. That was essential for him to have this encounter. And then the gospel, this is from the Gospel of John, which is just filled with encounters. We hear about the encounter with the woman at the well and the encounter with Nicodemus at night. John's gospel is filled with these encounters. And today we hear about one of these first encounters with Jesus's first followers. They were following John the Baptist, but then John is able to point to Jesus and say, "Hey, follow him. That's the Lamb of God. You want to follow him, give your life to him." And so a few of his disciples do that. They start following Jesus, I guess just like walking behind him. And then Jesus turns around. He says, "What are you looking for?" And they have this exchange, this dialogue, this encounter with Jesus. They say, "Rabbi, where are you staying? We want to be with you. We want to learn from you. We want to walk in your footsteps." And he says these important words, "Come and you will see." And so they followed Jesus. They followed him, and when they had recognized him as the Messiah, the one they were longing for and hoping for, they went and they told their family members. Andrew, one of the guys following him, finds his brother Simon. He says, "Hey, come on, we found the Messiah. I had an encounter with him. It changed my mind. It changed my heart. Maybe it can change you too." And so he brings Simon along with him, and then Jesus changes his Simon's name to Peter and incorporates him into those first disciples. We see these encounters and the effect that it has and how important it was for their lives. It was so important that they actually remembered the details of those first moments. Samuel, we heard that he heard God's voice three times. How do we know that? It was probably so important that he kept telling people about it. And eventually it was written down. "I was sleeping in the temple one night, and then I heard Samuel, Samuel, and I had this encounter with the Lord." It happened three times. And then we heard that one of the disciples here is unnamed, but we have these details from the encounter, one even about a time, that it was around 4 o'clock when these two disciples started following Jesus. That's a peculiar detail to include. One of the interpretations of this is maybe that unnamed disciple was the author of the gospel himself, John. And when he started following Jesus that day, it was so important for his life that he wrote down the time. "I started following Jesus at 4 o'clock on that day. And then I never turned back. I kept following him, and I remember what it was like and what the weather was like and what I was wearing." Maybe you have encounters like that. Maybe it was when you got down on your knee and asked your bride to marry you, or some eventful time in your life. You remember the exact time or the exact details. That's what Samuel and perhaps John are recording here for us today, that those moments were so important that we kept savoring them and talking about them for the rest of our lives. And then the laws and the rules started to make sense, and the details of my faith and the prayers and the devotions and the rituals and the beliefs, all those things started fitting in together. But not until the encounter. Paul writes about this as well. He talks to us today and he says, "Avoid immorality." Glorify God in your body. Paul gives us commandments. He gives us reminders that the moral life is one we should be striving for. But again, a moral life doesn't make sense outside of an encounter with Jesus. Why would I try to follow the rules if I didn't have one that I loved and actually wanted to follow? I mean, I could live a morally blameless life. I could know all my prayers. I could know all the beliefs of the church, the laws and the prayers and the devotions and the rituals. But if I didn't know Jesus, what does it matter? If I didn't encounter him in the Mass, in my prayer time, in the scriptures, if I didn't know him like a friend, why would it even matter if I did what he told me or not? So let's follow these essentials, brothers and sisters. Let's follow the one who gave us the law, who formed up our worship and our prayers. Let's consecrate our lives to Jesus right here at the beginning of a new year. When he says your name, Samuel, Samuel, Jane, Chad, Bob, you can respond to him like Samuel did. Speak, your servant is listening. When he says, come and you will see, start following the Lord more closely so that all of these other things will fall into place and the love of God will remain.